definite guidelines and commandments, and Lord willing, we'll be developing those today. I want to just take a look, just remember what our statement was as we were looking at this lesson. When we can learn to obey God by faith in the area of giving, we give God the opportunity to bless us in the area of finances. God blesses obedient faith. And as it is in all areas of our life, this is one facet. This is one area. God does bless obedient faith. Last Sunday, we studied how that giving by faith is part of living by faith. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And that those scripture verses that are so very familiar to us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And those very familiar verses lead on into a passage that talks about honoring the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be burst to overflowing and thy presses burst out with new wine. And so God does bless when we trust him in this area as well. Now, today we're going to develop the next step, which is what's on your notes, the next point, giving purposefully as an act of worship is commanded by Scripture. Giving purposefully as an act of worship is commanded by Scripture. And we'll kind of work that out and show exactly what that means. You know, our giving, the amount of our giving, the frequency of our giving, and really the spirit of our giving to the ministry and to others is between us and the Lord. Did you know that? It's a personal matter between you and the Lord. Now, the Scripture talks about it. I preach about it. But your giving is between you and the Lord. It is not for others to know. In fact, the Scripture says, let not the right hand know what the left hand doeth in this matter. That we don't brag about it. We don't tell others about it. In fact, I, the preacher, I don't know what you give individually. I don't want to. Because I'm not your Holy Spirit. I preach the truth, but it's up to you what you do with the truth. And as we obey the truth, even as I obey the truth, this is for me too, then it gives God a chance to bless us individually. What we do, the frequency, the amount, and the spirit is between us and the Lord. The church simply gives us an opportunity. It is the location, the opportunity to be fed, to learn about these things, and then to respond in this area. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. What's that mean? Well, you know, oh, that preacher, you know, he's commanding me to, I got to do it. You know, it's not of necessity or grudgingly. It's an act of free will worship. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Think about how different that is than so many other organizations. You know, there's charities today. They do not care what kind of attitude you have. The IRS certainly doesn't. You know, they don't care if you're cheerful or not. They're going to take your money. You know what God wants? He wants our heart. And so he says he loves a cheerful giver. And when you give from the heart, that's what God honors. That's what honors him. God loveth a cheerful giver. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll develop this lesson. Lord, please help us today as we take a look at your word in some of these ways that you would guide us. Help our heart to receive the truth and be submitted to it. Fill in some gaps. Teach us. Edify us. And dear Lord, give us a heart to give back to you, that you might bless us. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, capital letter A. We ought to give in obedience to the Lord. It is a step of obedience. Give in obedience unto the Lord. Now, there's two categories of giving that are mentioned in the Word of God, I believe. And the first one is that of tithes. Tithes. You can fill that in on your notes there. Tithe or tithes. The word tithe appears 11 times in the Old Testament. And it's a technical word. It literally means tenth, one tenth of something. In fact, it's one tenth of our income, what we bring in. That's what is commanded to be given. Now, the teaching on the tithe, giving a tenth of what you bring in, your income, it occurs throughout the Word of God. It's not just Old Testament. It's not just New Testament. It's not just under the Mosaic Law. It's throughout the Word of God. In fact, the text is there on your notes, Genesis chapter 14. Before the Mosaic covenant existed, before God drew Israel out and formed a nation and gave them the Levitical law, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, his spiritual leader. We studied that back in Genesis 14, when after he was given success in this battle and he recognized that it was God who had given him success and given him increase, and then he met with Melchizedek, who was a picture of Jesus Christ, a spiritual leader of that patriarch Abraham. Abraham worshiped God Almighty. He learned some new things about God Almighty, and he responded in thanksgiving by giving a tenth of what he had gained to his spiritual leader, Melchizedek. It says there, he said, "And blessed the Most High God," Abraham did, "which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand," and he gave him tithes of all. Now, Abraham had gained from the battle, and he recognized that God had done that, and so he gave a tithe of all that he gained. Well, later on, hundreds of years later, under the Mosaic law, when God gave his law to his people, he commanded them to give a tithe then as well. God's people were commanded to give under the law of Moses to the ministry. You see here in Deuteronomy chapter 14, "At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase." Very significant phrase, okay? Because it is what comes in that we recognize is from God, and we say, you know what, a tenth of what comes in I give back to God. "The same year, and thou shalt lay it up within thy gates." And the Levite, okay, they didn't have pastors back then. The Levite was the priest. "Because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee." He didn't, when they went into the land of Canaan, God did not give the Levites a specific area of land. They didn't have their own increase. They didn't have their own job that produced. Their job was to minister spiritually to the children of Israel. And so the children of Israel provided for the needs of the Levites by giving their sacrifices. When they brought an animal to sacrifice, the animal would be killed, the blood would be shed and cover the sin, but the meat of the animal would help feed the Levites. That was an entire tribe. They had to eat too. "And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee," and look at this, "and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow." The stranger would be kind of like the homeless person. So God's plan for this was to provide for the local ministry and for benevolence. "Which are in thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest." See, there's a connection there. When the people did this, it said that God would respond by continuing to bless them. Now, you say, well, those are just Old Testament, Pastor. What about the New Testament? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because in the New Testament, Christ commands the continuance of tithing. Now, we can miss this if we're not careful. But he was actually reprimanding the spiritual leaders. The spiritual leaders, they took God's law and then they added a bunch of stuff to it. Okay? We have a tendency to do that. Did you know that? And they added a bunch of stuff to it. But you know what they did? They added loopholes. They added loopholes to where if they didn't want to have to take care of their parents, all right, crooked people, they would take their money and they would say, well, the money that I have is a gift unto the Lord, so I can't give it to you. But since they were the religious leaders, guess what? They benefited from the gifts that were given to the temple. So they would still be provided for, but they just wouldn't take care of their own family or their own parents. Jesus condemned them for that. And sometimes what they would do is they would tithe in little things, and then they would create loopholes with the extra laws so they didn't have to tithe in the stuff that they should. And he gets on to them. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." That's like their spice rack. All right. They were getting commodities. And he says, you're giving back a tenth of your spice rack, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They had no relationship with God. They were creating all these laws, 513, I forget exactly how many they had finally added to all the Mosaic laws. And they were fulfilling all these, and they were perfect in their own eyes, but they didn't have a relationship with God. But look at what Jesus says. He says, "These ought ye to have done." He doesn't condemn their tithing, "and not leave the other undone." In other words, If we don't have a relationship with God, our giving is not an act of worship. And for these men, their giving was not an act of worship. It was an act of show. They were trying to work their way to heaven. They were trying to show people how righteous they were, but they had no righteousness whatsoever. And so the works without the relationship are empty. Jesus said, you should have done that, but not leave the other undone. There has to be a relationship. And so we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So it's taught in the Old Testament. It's modeled by the patriarch. Jesus confirms it in the New Testament. And then for the New Testament church, Paul the Apostle tells them, he says that we ought to give our tithe as God increases us. Giving our tithe as God increases us. Now, he doesn't use the word tithe here. He uses different language. But look at what he says. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. He said, I've already instructed the churches in Galatia. I'm going to tell you, Corinthian church, this is what you're supposed to do. Upon the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Okay? He doesn't say, I'm going to come and I'm going to look at you and I'm going to judge you. You do it as God hath prospered you. Okay? So it's a response to God's provision for you, that there be no gatherings when I come. It's really a response of conscious thankfulness when we give a tenth of what we bring in. And this comes back to Proverbs chapter 3, where we were looking at, if you Scripture said there, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And in effect, what it's saying is, when you get a paycheck, now many of you, you're not working a job anymore. You may get a Social Security paycheck or something like that. And the way we deal with that is, when we teach our kids, God gets paid first. God gets paid first. And that way it's an act of worship, but it's also an act of faith. You bring it in, one-tenth of what you bring in is given to the ministry of the Lord out of obedience to the Lord. And when you tithe, you do so as a response to God's goodness, but you do so by faith. Well, how so? Well, because you don't know what's going to come later on. So how can I give a tenth of what comes in if I don't know what the week is going to hold? Well, my friend, that's where faith comes in. Because guess who does know what the week's going to hold? God does. Is it going to catch him by surprise when something happens? No, it's not. And God does provide. And I'll say this to you. Everyone will pay a tithe. Well, preacher, what if I don't pay my tithe? You'll give it somewhere. What do I mean? Well, 100% of your money will go somewhere. It's going to, all right? It always does. It's either going to go into savings, or it's going to go into discretionary spending, or towards debt, or you're going to spend it on food or eating out, or you're going to spend it on something, okay, or a habit. 100% of our money is supposed to go somewhere. But if we give 10% unto the Lord to start with, we're obedient to the Lord. And I'll say this, where we send our tithe reveals who we are willing to serve. It really does. Now, there's a text there in your notes we're not going to turn to today, but you can look at it later. King Belshazzar was willing to serve gods of wood and of stone and of gold and of silver, and he praised them with his stuff, and God judged him for it. We should always give our praise to God. What's that, Ashley? That's right. Yeah, God wrote on the wall. So everyone will pay a tithe. Tithing is the first category we see in the Bible. The second one is offerings. Offerings. Now, how is that different? Well, a tithe is a tenth. It's based on what you bring in. A tithe is an act of obedience as unto Scripture. Offerings are really free will. What does that mean? Well, they're not based on an amount. Take your Bible and turn to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22. Verse 18. There's some interesting things here as it pertains to offerings, and it really addresses our human nature. Leviticus 22, verse 18, I'll begin reading. You can follow along when you get there. It says, "Speak unto Aaron," he's the high priest, "and to his sons," the other Levites, "and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his free will offerings." In other words, the free will offerings were not something that God commanded them to give. That he didn't command them to give a certain amount. He didn't command them to give on a certain frequency. They gave it from the free will of their own heart, out of a desire just to thank God, just to provide for the ministry, to provide for other people. And different ones of you, you give free will offerings, even if you don't give to the church. I know there's some of you in here who are giving people, and that's of your own free will. You feel that motivation, you see a need, and you say, I'm gonna provide for that. That's the idea of a free will offering. Okay? But read on if you would. It says, "Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves or of the sheep or of the goats. And whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer." So God says this, you can give your own free will offering, but I don't want the factory seconds. In other words, don't give me one just because you don't want it. If it's damaged, if it comes out, injured, oh, well, this one's not going to reproduce very well. I'll just give it to God. Well, that's not honoring to God. All right. Whatsoever hath a blemish, it shall not be acceptable for you. Verse 21, whosoever offereth the sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. In other words, it's yours to keep. You don't have to give it. But if you're going to give it, give something that honors God. Okay? Now, two people in the New Testament they died for this. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, in the book of Acts, they were giving to the local church. They had not been commanded to give what they had. They sold a piece of property, and when they went to give the money for the piece of property, they made the church believe that they were giving all of the money. It was not an act of worship. It was an act of show so that they would look better. And you know what Peter told them? He said, is this all the money? And they said, oh, yeah, this is all the money. And he says, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, while the property was yours, you could have kept it. While the money was yours, you could have kept it. But since you're doing this and lying to God, you're going to be judged. And both of them died. What does that teach us? It teaches us that God wants us to worship him. He wants us to give out of our free will. He doesn't require it. But if you're going to do it, be sincere. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scab, ye shall not offer these things unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar of the Lord, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts. In other words, if it's deformed, thou mayest offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Look at this. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God. In other words, you can't get something and go, well, this didn't cost me anything, so I'm going to consider it a free will offering. This was under the Old Testament law. So what are we saying? Well, these are not based on an amount, but they are still to be worshipful, a worshipful response to the Lord. Well, so how do we do that then? How much should I give? Well, really, it's up to you and God. Okay? And essentially, it's when God speaks to you. When believers are in God's word and in God's house and confronted with needs, you know how it is when you've been around things and just something in your heart answers back to the need that you see. And you say, I'm going to help that person. I'm going to take care of that need. I'm going to do it this way. That is the way that we ought to respond. In fact, our missions is a good example of free will offering. When we do our faith promise missions, some churches take missions at a percentage of their general fund and put it towards missions. And I can understand that. But effectively what that does is it removes missions from a personal aspect with you as the congregation. Faith promise missions makes missions a personal giving of our congregation. In other words, we hand out our faith promise cards, and I encourage you, pray about this. This is a matter between you and God, how much you give. You're not required to give. You're not required to give a certain amount. And when you hand that card in, you don't sign it, so nobody knows what you're giving. but it's unto the Lord as the Lord leads you. And then you make the commitment to give by faith and say, I'm going to give this much between me and God, and I'm going to trust. I'm going to give it at the beginning of the month, and I'm going to trust that God will provide. And you know what? Can I tell you? As long as my family has been doing it, God has provided. It's amazing. Offerings are not based on your income. They're not based on an amount. They're given. They're to be given as God speaks to you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verses 1 through 5. Paul draws our attention to some of the giving that the church did in Corinth for another church in Macedonia. No, let me read this. I'll get it wrong. 1 Corinthians 8. I think I should have written 2 Corinthians 8. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Yes, that makes more sense. 2 Corinthians 8. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. I want you to witness something. Of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You know those churches over there? Notice how they have the grace of God and they just seem God is blessing them and they're in favor with God. I want you to notice something. This is tied to it. How that in great trial of affliction, things were not going great for them, but God was still blessing them. They were happy in the grace of God, but it wasn't their circumstances. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. They had a giving spirit to the needs of others in the midst of their own personal affliction and even poverty. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They were willing to do more than they were able to do. They just weren't able to do any more. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord. Remember how we talked about how that finance is really an issue of the heart? They gave their heart first, and then they were willing to give what God allowed them to. And, you know, if they didn't have more, they couldn't give it, but they did give some. I have received from the hands of people, not asking, just I've received a gift. Have you ever received a gift from somebody and you almost felt guilty for taking it? Because, yeah. But you know what? That person understands sacrificial giving. They give from the heart. I've received several times in my life, many times, from people. And I think to myself, you need this more than I do. But you know what? When they give, you know what they have? They have less money, but they have joy. They have joy. And that's what this church had. It wasn't governed by their income. It was just led by God, and God provided for those churches. So offerings are the second one. They're not tied to the amount. They're not tied to your income. They're really just as God leads us and as you respond. And again, both of these categories are between you and who? God. By the way, that's why I have trouble. I know I've had some suggestions with people saying, well, Pastor, don't you think you could raise money for a new building if you were to have a matching gift fund or if you were to raffle off chairs and people could give a certain amount and they could buy a chair? Wouldn't that be a good idea? And then they could have their plaque on the chair and their name. And my answer to that is when we give as unto the Lord as worship, and it is not to be something publicly noticed, because that destroys the private worship that this is supposed to be. It totally undermines it. It then becomes our own humanity. Now, I'm not doubting that individual, or if you've seen that done, I'm not judging their motives, but I am judging human nature. And this is human nature. Human nature is to want credit for things. Human nature is. Now, if you don't want credit, God bless you. You have humility. That's a great thing. OK, don't lose it. But human nature is not that way. And so these are tithes and offerings are out of obedience in worship to the Lord. And then thirdly, I'll say this. Failure to give, if giving out of worship is obedience, then failure to give is disobedience. Failure to give is disobedience. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. It'll be up here on the screen in just a second. I want to give you a chance to write that down. Failure to give is disobedience. Listen to what God says to the children of Israel here. He says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now, they did a lot of things that were against God's ordinances, but he's zeroing in on one specific area. And he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, this is kind of a diatribe. God's carrying on a conversation with them, and he's anticipating their response. Malachi 3, verse 7. But ye say, wherein shall we return? In other words, where are we going to come back? Judah does this to me sometimes. I'll say, why did you do that? And he goes, what did I do? And I'll say, you know what you did. What did you do? You know, we go back and forth. And so God says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And so God says, well, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Failure to give is disobedience. In fact, God tells Israel that by not giving, his people were robbing him. Not the world. God doesn't expect the world to give to the church. That's another problem that I have a lot of times. I'm not in favor of churches trying to get money from civic organizations or from the government or from, you know, widespread things. I believe that the ministry of giving supplies the needs of the church. And if the church needs more money, they pray about it and they allow God to provide it. That it's not for the world to give. Okay, it's not. This is to the people of God because it's an act of worship. In fact, capital letter B. Moving on from that. By not giving, they're robbing God. So, two categories of giving, tithes and offerings, we looked at that. Secondly, capital letter B, we ought to give trusting that God will take care of our needs. This is why we talked about trust first last week. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We have to trust him. This is built upon faith. If we don't have faith in this area, we won't have joy in this area, we won't give as we ought to. Okay? Give trusting that God will take care of your needs. And this is where it gets exciting. Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that would be the local ministry, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, test me in this area. It's not wise to test God in a lot of areas, but this is one area where God says, you do this and you test me. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. When we obey God by faith, we give God a chance to bless us. It says, bring ye all the tithes, and I will bless you, saith the Lord of hosts. When we obey God in tithes and offerings, God will bless us materially. Now, there's a future lesson I want to teach. Five different blessings tied to giving. That when we give out of faith, there's five ways at least. There are other ways, but there's five ways at least that God returns to us. And they're not always like we would think. Okay, sometimes we think very just single-minded, monolithic, one way. But God gives many different ways, all right? In fact, one of them is mentioned here. He says blessings, but also protection of what we already have. He says he will protect our possessions. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, what you have will go further and last longer. Have you ever known people whose possessions just seem to break all the time? And then you know other people who it seems like their stuff just lasts forever, okay? Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor, that's because it was made back in the day. They don't make things the way they used to. Okay, granted, maybe you're right, all right. I've dealt with that, too. You know, I'm old enough to start saying that when I'm working on vehicles now, and I'm going, these new vehicles, they don't make them the way they were used to. You know, and I feel old just saying that. I'm only in my 30s. But look at what God says here in Nehemiah about the children of Israel. They went out from Egypt. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And look at what it says. It says, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing in the wilderness. That's the desert, and God provided for them. Their clothes waxed not old. Now, if you have clothes that are 40 years old, okay, they're probably not doing too well. They probably are old, all right? But their clothes didn't wax old over 40 years, and their feet swelled not. You can't even get a pair of shoes to last 6 months today, all right? But you know what? God took care of them. This is a miracle. And this was by God's power, by God's choosing. Does God always choose to do this? No. But sometimes he does, and he does so in response to our giving. Now, we're going to pick up next week with the last three. But I just want you to see this. God can bless, and this is an act of, I bring this back because I think this is so critical, the main point of today's lesson, and just developing this. When we give, okay, when we give, it is, at the very beginning, taking me a long time to get there. It's purposefully as an act of worship to God, commanded by Scripture. So that when we give, we write out a check or we put money in the offering plate, we're doing so in response to God, not to another person. That's why we have these offering envelopes, you know. And I just want you to understand, this is not something that I preach because our church needs extra money and I want to get rich and all this kind of stuff. Tithing and offerings and giving helps us. It grows our faith. We'll develop that next Sunday. But it's just, it's an amazing thing to see God do in our lives. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer as we close. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, dear Lord, that even in this difficult area that is so often abused and can be delicate, that you would help us, Lord, just to search your scriptures, to gain your thoughts, to have your heart on this issue, that you might have our heart. And we'll give you the honor and praise. In your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll reconvene at 10:30.